I accepted Jesus into my heart around the age of 5, and if I close my eyes, I can still see my grandmother in her evening duster, tucking in the sheets around my bed as she spoke to me about Jesus. The prayer that my grandmother led me in that night changed the course of my life because I saw that she had a very special friendship with God, and I wanted that too. And after I invited Jesus into my life became different, partly because I gained access to God through the power of prayer. But as I grew older, things changed. Not overnight, but slowly. Disappointments, financial stress, the increasing pressures of life as a wife and a mother exposed a real weakness in my walk with God. I was inclined to figure things out on my own before I turned with the Lord to the childlike faith that I had when I first accepted Jesus into my life. The Bible teaches us that the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective, and I would add a personal note to that. Those prayers are the glue that keeps us close to His heart. I want to invite you to join me for the month of April as I lead you in a study of the life-changing power of prayer. I cannot wait to see what God's going to do in your life as you learn to better appreciate what access to Him is all about. You can join me by going to faiththatspeaks.com. That's faiththatspeaks.com. Head on over there and sign up, and I will see you for the April Bible study. It's no surprise that children are struggling with identity in the culture, but we cannot let it stay this way. Our kids need us to step up to the plate and give them a firm foundation in identity so that they will walk firmly in who Christ has made them to be. Join me and my friend today, Dr. Kathy Cook, as she shares some encouragement and practical tips for how you can help your kids find their identity in Christ. This is the Heidi St. John Podcast. I'm glad you're here. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. So, Kathy Cook, my goodness, long time no see. Welcome back to the show.
Always happy to be here, Heidi. Thanks for the invitation.
I am so happy that you're here, and I know I'm going to see you a little bit out on the road this summer. You're going to be all over the place speaking and encouraging families wherever you go. I want to jump into the topic of identity because we've got a generation of kids right now who are literally being targeted by people who want to assault the fact that they were made in the image of God.
Yep.
And I'm curious as to why you felt this topic was so important to write about. Tell me a little bit about what you were the start and off place when you began to talk to parents about helping their kids establish a firm identity in Christ.
Yeah, like you, I was flabbergasted and alarmed that there were so many people who didn't get that, didn't believe it, didn't know how to even talk to their kids about it. You've heard me say that we have an identity crisis because we have a security crisis in our culture, in our country, in the world, I think. And I want kids to know who they are because identity controls behavior, right? So who I think I am is who I will be. So if kids don't know who they are, they don't know who to be. They don't know how to behave. Heidi, it's the main reason they'll go wherever the wind blows them. But when children know who they are and what the family values are and what the core beliefs are, where their security is placed, then it's less likely that the devil will have his way with them.
It's so good. And if you are a parent and you're trying to establish this with your kids, where do we start, Kathy? I mean, there are kids. I mean, all you got to do is walk through the checkout sign at Walmart, right?
Oh.
And there's a million different people trying to tell kids who they are. Social media is a dumpster fire for children. You and I can talk about that also because for goodness sake, keep your kids off of these platforms. But talk to me about how you help your child establish an identity in the midst of a culture that really wants to make sure they can't find out what their true identity is.
Yeah, I love the way you worded that. So let me go back to what I just said. One of the first things we have to do is be their security. So I want to say to our listeners today, are you trustworthy? Are you dependable? Do you tell the truth to your children? Do you apologize when they catch you exaggerating or lying or forgetting? Do you say, oh, I just forgot? Do you like blow them off and make them feel insignificant? They can get that feeling anywhere. Are they safe in your home? Do you love them and like them? And so if they are secure in you, then you will influence who they believe they are. So when you say, and I love you with everything in me, that means something more than the lyric of a song they were just listening to that says, hey, you're lovable. So the first thing we have to do is to have security, and then we have to teach truth. One of the most important identities I think our children need, you're going to agree with me, is the identity that I was created by an intentional God. So absolutely, I was created in God's image, male and female, Genesis 1:27. That should be handwriting practice every other Monday, you know?
Yes.
And it just has to be declared and has to be discovered in a lot of ways. The idea that we're created by an intentional, strategic, personal God, like that rocks my world. And I used to, you know this, Heidi, I used to think I was too tall. I'm 6'1". I'm not too tall. As a little 5-year-old boy said to me forever ago, "Hey, lady, I don't think you're too tall. I think you're cool tall."
Oh, I love it.
Right, Heidi? Because every time I say I'm too tall, I'm dishonoring God's intentions. Mm. So I am a woman and proud of it because I believe God is an intentional, strategic God who knows what he's doing. My voice isn't too low, it's low. You know, a child with a math deficiency is still imperfectly perfect by God's design. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's amazing. This is the first generation. I heard someone say the other day, and I think you'll think this is interesting, that my generation, your generation, we are the last fully analog generation. Mm-hmm. And the generation we see coming up right now is the first fully digital generation. Mm-hmm. And they're getting their identity really from what they see online, from what they hear around them coming from, you know, the mainstream media and places like that. You and I have talked before about the importance of parents protecting their children. Someone accused me, you know, years and years ago. They don't really do it anymore because my kids are grown and they're actually doing just fine. I was accused years ago about being a sheltering mom. They're like, "You're sheltering your kids." And I was like, "You're darn right. I'm sheltering my kids." I'm pretty sure that that's in the job description of a mother, isn't it, Kathy?
Oh, absolutely. To want them home with you. To what I say, be the Kool-Aid house. Now that's old. I'm older, so Kool-Aid house. You know, be the house that everyone wants.
I remember
to
the
come
Kool-Aid
to.
House from the Kool-Aid commercials from 1977.
Be the house that everyone wants to come to play, so that you know who your kids are hanging out with, and your kids feel safe, and they're gonna wink at you if they want their friends to go home. So no, there's all kinds of ways that we shelter and protect. We protect from evil, and we shelter with truth, and that's the call upon our lives. Read Deuteronomy 6. And this is not hard and scary if you're humble and willing to submit and listen to podcasts like this to get help, because we know that this is new for a lot of people who are listening. But the evil is at the door, so we have to shut it. No screen door. Shut it, bolt it. You know, triple lock it if you want to. But we've got to be really careful. You know, Heidi, I think that our kids need to know that they're important, valuable, and significant. Not more important than anyone else. I'm more important than you are. That's sin. That's pride. That's irresponsible parenting. But I want our children to believe deep down in their knowing of their knowing that they matter. I'm important. I'm significant. I'm valuable. Because when I believe I'm valuable, then I matter. Now everything matters. Now learning matters. Now character matters. Now Christ-like obedience matters. Now, yes, it matters because I matter. And we have so many children today believing that they don't matter because the school systems are treating them like numbers on a list, just going through the motions. And they're maybe not surrounded by good people who would call out the goodness in them. So that's one I would give. Do you understand what I'm saying, Heidi? Not more important, but important. Why? Because God made us in his image for his glory for such a time as this.
Yes. Amen. Well, you know, that's my mantra, right? For such a time as this, we're off the bench, we're onto the battlefield. Yeah. And I think also when you say you are as important, but not more important, you are a parroting for your child, a biblical principle that recognizes the preciousness of other people, right? When I was growing up, we had a little song we sang in Sunday school. You probably did too, called Jesus and Others in You. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Jesus and Others in You. What a wonderful way to spell joy. And it teaches us that it's the Lord first, right? And then we look out for other people. And then we look out for ourselves. We see ourselves as made in the image of God. And it's all sort of messed up and backward right now. I want to throw something out at you. You and I have a mutual friend in Sam Sorbo. And I heard her on a show that, in fact, I need to call her because I was like, that girl, that was straight fire. It was so good. But she said, she was talking about how kids are being injured in the school system. And a long time ago, you know, I tiptoed around this. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I thought, you know, it doesn't really matter as long as you're able to clean up the mess at the end of the day. Well, she said that, you know, in the world of medicine, the brand new physician takes the Hippocratic Oath, which we all know Of course, doesn't apply now, apparently, but it used to apply, and it was first do no harm. Right. She said, riddle me this. If the schools are teaching our children that there's 400 genders and you've evolved from an animal and you could identify as a narwhal whale on Friday and we'll install an aquarium for you, how is this not injuring our children? And so she asserted, and I've never heard anyone do it before, but I thought, I think she's right. And I want to know what you think. She asserts that you would be better off in this environment because of the fact that these schools are going, they're targeting the identity of children now. Absolutely, 100%. She says you'd be better off to bring your kids home and not school them at all than put them into these environments. What say you?
Oh, absolutely. Because eventually the children will demand an opportunity to learn because we're created to be learners. Proverbs 4:13, learning is our life. So bring them home. And you and I know that a mom can learn algebra along with the eighth grader, and a mom can learn new spelling principles along with the kid. I would be a smarter woman if I was homeschooling children. Oh my goodness. I would have to remember the longest river in the United States, you know? So, and I would agree that, to do nothing, but to be safe, right? To be surrounded by love. Yeah, and she's not saying don't educate. And you and I are not saying don't educate.
No, she's just saying bring them home. Even if you don't have a plan, bring them home. Yeah. She's because these people are injuring children.
Don't wait for the plan, because the plan will often show up as you begin schooling, as you discover who in your neighborhood and your church is schooling, who can help you, and how your kids learn best, and the fact that they're behind and you didn't know it. And if you didn't know that when you made your plan, now you've wasted time and money. So just bring them home.
Yeah.
And celebrate that and rest in that. Just love on your family.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. And it really does. I love that because obviously you've been in an educator for a very long time. Education is really important to you, and you have been working with children for a very long time. Tell me what you're seeing now in 2024 that you didn't see in, say, 1994.
Well, first of all, thanks for acknowledging that I am an educator. I am a former professor, teacher, coach, school board member. And so education matters. My brother and I were both raised to be educated. Truth matters more.
Yes.
And so the training up for truth, right? And so that's why I can say, you know, bring them home. What am I seeing? I'm seeing a fear in parents. I'm really alarmed. I imagine you are as well, Heidi. We have way too many parents parenting by fear. I'm so afraid my kid will want to change genders. I'm so afraid my kid will be a bully or be bullied. I'm so afraid that my kid won't be known in school or will be known for something that is false. I'm so afraid my kids will be deceived and I'm not going to have power over them anymore, that they're going to question all of my authority. So, and fear is appropriate to an extent. That's why we know to pull them. When a parent says to me, should I pull my kids from a public school? I'm like, if you're asking, the answer is yes.
Right. The answer is not hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a hard question. I know that the logistics of it seem overwhelming, but the kids will be so joyful and content at home that it won't be hard. So it won't be as hard as you think it will be. So I'm seeing more fear. I'm seeing more desperation. I am seeing more unity. I am seeing that there are a lot of parents who have chosen to leave their kids in the public school. And what I say to them is, you better be involved from 3 to 8. You know, in the afternoon, if you leave your kid in that system, you better be the most involved and intentional mom and dad I've ever met, who will Bible study with them, who will worship with them, who will sit and do homework with them,
who will meet with their teachers, who will meet with their friends, who will review the curriculum, who will see what's on the school calendar, who will decide whether or not their child is going to participate in LGBTQ Awareness Day, all those things. I mean, you can't run fast enough to keep track of the monster that's chasing your kids in the government school.
Yeah. And no, there's truth in that. And I would say, Heidi, I meet a lot of really good people who are still teaching in the public school system.
Absolutely true.
And are broken by what they've been forced to do. And of course, I challenge them, you know, as to why they're staying. And they're like, I don't want to abandon, you know, the system. So these are hard days. Do I think that homeschooling is really a wise choice? Absolutely. And anyone can do it who wants to do it. Certainly, If you're called to do it by the Lord, it's much easier. If you're forced into it because the system isn't working for your kids, it's going to take you a little bit longer to figure it out. But are you wise? Are you smart? Do you love your kids more than anyone else? Of course you do. So yeah. Yes, you can do this.
Yeah, that is the question. I noted, you know, several years ago when I sort of changed my attitude, I guess, about, you know, I've always been, you know, an outspoken proponent of private education, right? Christian mm-hmm. schools and homeschooling, absolutely. But I wasn't really speaking out about the dangers of the public school system until it really started to hit home for me. Right. And I noted that I would consider myself at the tail end of the pioneer generation of homeschooling, right? So you give Heidi St. John a little red wagon. By the time I figured it out, like, oh, hey, education's not neutral. Oh, hey, I'm this kid's mother, mm-hmm. you know, and I pulled our daughter out of the public school system in the second grade. You know, I was running to something. I saw an educational opportunity that would bring more life into our family and help me establish that my daughter's identity is first in Christ, right? I want my kids to see them, look in the mirror and see someone who is spectacularly smart and beautiful, right? And that they have the confidence that comes from knowing that they were created in the image of God. But I'll tell you, I think this generation, I look now at the young families that are coming. I'm in my 50s now. I look at the young moms in their 20s and 30s that are pulling their kids out of school. They're not running to something, Kathy. They're running from something, right? They're running from a system of education that's injuring their children. What do you say to the parents who are recognizing, oh my goodness, I need to spend more time with my child. I need to instill, do a better job, or maybe even just begin to really talk to my child about how they get self-worth and where that comes from and why we know that they were born for this time in human history. Talk to the parents who are listening to this today and maybe just saying, man, I wonder if I missed my opportunity.
Well, it's never too late. So first
of all,
you're going
to say that. That's right.
Yeah, it's never too late. Even when you're at home, can undo a lot of damage. And the first thing I was going to say before you ended with that comment was that I'm proud of anyone who makes this decision. Yes. I understand and you understand that sacrifice is necessary, and sacrifice is not a character quality that is celebrated from the masses. Yet love rules. And so first thing I'd say is I'm proud of you. Make sure you're healthy. So if you've not been in the Word, if you've not been a worshiper, if you're not a Christ follower, there are a lot of Christians. In my church, we use the phrase Christ follower because my pastor wants us to see that there's action when you are a believer. And so thank you. My pastor is very wise. If you believe that you have kind of stepped away because of busyness and priorities, I respect that. Heidi gets that. This is your opportunity for you being healthy and healthier as a family. This is a family decision. And again, it's not about spelling the math. It's not. It will eventually become academic orientation. But right now it's about love, sibling relationships, a healthy family. Here's one of the most important identities for a kid to have. That's my mom.
Ooh.
One of the most important identities for a kid to have is I am the daughter of Don and Arlene Cook. You know, Heidi, I was raised not by believers, by really good people. My grandfather was mayor of my city when we were growing up. So we were part of the Meyer clan. The news media watched us. I was very proud to be Irv Meyer's granddaughter, and I was never not proud of being Arlene and Don Cook's daughter. I want children today to know their parents, and I want parents to know their children so that the greatest influence is in that dynamic. And I think one of the key identities after you talk about creating the image of God, created by an intentional God, someone Jesus died for, all the Christian things, chosen, adopted, beloved, all those things, then man, that's my mom. That's my mom. And right now, authority is questioned in the public school system to the extent, and kids are told, oh, your mom she's so weird, you know, that she believes those things. No.
Right.
Bring them home, because God ordains the family before he ordains the church. And we have got to remember that the family unit matters greatly to God.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to just a return to saying, we want to value as the children of God what God says is valuable. Right?
Yes.
So we love the people that are around us, starting with the people that God gives us responsibility for. And those are the people that are in our home and the people that are in our communities. And you have done such a beautiful job. I think one of the things I so love about you is the joy that you bring. to the topic of parenting and the joy that you bring to remind parents that the opportunity that they have to influence their children is significant. It's no small thing in the hands of the father. And I love that you've made that point so beautifully over the years at Celebrate Kids. And every time I hear you speaking out on the road, kids need to know that they're loved. And I think, tell me what you think about this. I really believe, and I've seen this in my own children, and I've seen this in my own life, having come from a not very healthy background, that once you understand how loved you are, once you know, oh, hey, you know, I'm here on purpose. Oh, hey, God did this on purpose. Like he saw that little bend in Heidi St. John's little toe and thought it was cute. He was like, that's pretty cute. That's a little add-on right there. That's just for you, right? That little birthmark that's on my leg that I used to be embarrassed about when I was a kid. That was his signature stamp on Heidi St. John. And it changes you, doesn't it?
Yes. And so kids have to believe and parents have to believe that God is good and he's a good creator. And he does intentionally strategic, beautiful work so that we don't self-reject. Absolutely so critically important. Heidi, children have to be loved. And what kids have told me is that, well, Dr. Kathy, my parents have to love me. God has to love me. They don't have a choice. I wish they liked me. I wish they liked me. And what's significant about that from a child's perspective, I just podcasted about this myself. Love is unconditional. There's nothing, supposedly, there's nothing I can do that would cause my parents to love me less or more. But children know that like is conditional. So it actually matters a lot to them that they're liked. And when I ask them, well, how do you know you're liked? Well, my dad asked if I would play ball with him. I don't always have to ask him. My mom asked if I could make the cookies with her. I don't have to ask her all the time. Like they want me with them. So one of the things that I think happens that gives me chills as a homeschool family is because you get in this unity space and you know your values, you know your beliefs, you know why you're together. You have a family dynamic that is different. Your children will believe because of how you treat them that they're loved and liked. That can change everything. I hope that makes sense.
Man, I love it so much because I think parents, especially in the homeschool space, you know, we start thinking about academics. I wrote down what you said, Kathy. I'm giving all of my really awesome guests really great book titles. So this is your new book title. I will write a foreword for you. Maybe I'll write the book with you. I think you should write it. Education Matters, Truth Matters More.
We could co-author that.
We could. Well, you said it, girl. When you said it, I thought, man, that's so true. Because what happens is we get fixated. We've been kind of lied to, I think, as parents, whether it was intentionally or not, right? That education's the main thing. It's reading, writing, and arithmetic. Mm-hmm. But the Bible teaches that what we should be in the pursuit of is wisdom. Yes. And wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge that we have from a perspective that is life-giving. And that's what we have missed so much of. And really, once you bring your children home and you spend the first, 6 months just getting reacquainted, it is amazing. And I know you've seen this as an educator because I've seen it too. It is amazing how quickly your children will catch up. It's amazing how quickly they can start to learn when the environment is correct. It's amazing what happens with a little bit of love. And all of a sudden your kids know I'm secure. So the environment that I'm in is secure. The love my parents have for me is secure. The plan they're making for me is a good one. And now I'm free to actually learn.
And there's less comparison because there's fewer kids.
Yes.
If a parent is listening to us and saying, oh, I don't have the time. No, actually, yes, you do. Because you don't have 28 kids. You don't have to wait for the slow student before you can move on. You don't have to have 5 minutes of bathroom breaks, a 30-minute cafeteria break, 2 recesses a day, a long walk to the music room. No, you can home educate efficiently and beautifully, whether you have one kid or I have friends who do it with 9. You find a rhythm of making that work. So again, we don't want you to think that you can't. You can if you humble yourself, do the work on yourself that needs to be done, listen to podcasts like this, maybe go to a homeschool convention. Find out in your community who else is doing it, but it's so possible. And it will change your identity and it will change the kids.
Yeah, it's really true. If there's parents listening and they don't hear anything we say today because the kids are loud and the radio got dropped and they didn't hear the whole thing and you want them to walk away with something. So lean in, everybody. You want them to walk away with something that would be life-giving for their family and life-changing for their child, what would it be?
You are the perfectly imperfect parent for your perfectly imperfect children, or you would not be parenting those children. God did ordain you as a family unit. And on your worst day, you are the best mom for your children because God chose you to be their mom. And we have to stay in that space and believe it in our believing.
Man, you got to know it in your knower, right? Deep down in your knower. Yeah. Dr. Kathy Cook, it is always a joy to see you. Your love for people is just absolutely infectious. Where can people, you've got a million books that people can get, right? I have a bunch of them here at the Homeschool Resource Center. Tell us a couple of the titles of your books and then where people can find you online.
Well, I only have seven, so let's tell the truth.
Only seven.
But I love that. My newest book.
I only have seven children. Oh, okay.
My newest book is A Parent Differently, Raise Kids with Biblical Character That Changes Culture. I wrote Resilient Kids, Help Them Embrace Life with Confidence. My best seller is 8 Great Smarts, How to Raise Children to Believe in Their Ability to Learn. And you can find those books and my other books at CelebrateKids.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Celebrate Kids, Inc. Our podcast channel is Celebrate Kids with Dr. Kathy. And I would be so honored if your people would come over and be my people. So thanks for letting me be on the show.
Thank you for being here. I know my people are your people, girl. I already know it. I do. I know it.
I meet them everywhere, actually. It's so much fun. They'll say, I've heard you on Heidi St. John. Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for your support, Heidi. It means a lot. So thank you.
Back at you. You're very welcome. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. I hope you've been blessed and encouraged by my friend, Dr. Kathy Cook. She's going to be out on the road like I am this summer. And I know that both of us are going to be at Teach Them Diligently. You can check out those events at teachthemdiligently.net. And you can find out where Kathy will be at her podcast. And also I will link back to that in the show notes today. You guys, love your children today. Love your people well. God has given you a window of opportunity to bless and encourage and raise these children up to be strong and courageous in the Lord. Now is the time. Don't waste it. We love you guys. Have a great day. I'll see you back here again at the intersection of faith and